This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars sponsored by WEPA. Join NITP for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to February 17th, For Your Benefit radio show. What is today anyway? Veterans Day?
No, it's not Veterans Day, Bob. President's Day.
President's Day.
Government is off today.
I know that. Okay, I just thought, you know, just in case somebody was listening to an older show. Anyway, Bob Stacy, a learning and development specialist with NITP, a retired Fed of 33 years?
Correct, 33.
Wow. And then off to a second career of wowing audiences.
That's me.
And what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about the transition to retirement rather than retirement?
No.
Rewirement?
No. Rewirement, Bob.
Yes.
Retirement sounds so
fine. I know. I'm just fooling with the tagline. Anyway, so get us started here on how to rewirement.
Yeah, it's going to be a good hour with you, Bob, today. I just want to give the listeners a little my background. As you said, 33 years with Department of Defense, and I actually left the defense 12 years ago. So for me, this new rewirement has been 12 years journey and still continues. And I've been super busy. And I tell the seminars, maybe I've been bored 2 days out of 12 years. And if you plan right and listen to what we're going to say today, I think everybody can have this journey that I'm on now, which is a lot of fun, and you keep yourself busy. I work part-time, I play part-time, I volunteer part-time, and by the end of the show with you today, I hope the listeners will get a lot of good ideas, tips, and tricks, what they can do to make a successful rewirement.
All right, where does one start, with a discussion with themselves?
They do.
Okay.
They do. You have to, not only with discussion with yourselves, but also talk to other people who have already made the journey. I think we get a lot of ideas from our family and friends and other people. Going to seminars is another way. But I think the best way is to always have a lot of reading material on people that produce newsletters about retirement. People have been to the class, and mainly your friends who've already begun that journey, because often they have a lot of good ideas you may not think about.
So how did you decide that this would be your life after work, if you will?
Well, first I had to decide, am I done with my career? And that's the first thing that people have to ask. And I always tell the seminars there are three questions you really need to ask yourself before you start this journey. And for some people, it's a second journey or a second stage life. If you are Fed government retiree and maybe you've been in the military and you're retiree, you may be on your third stage. But whatever stage it is, I tell people there are three questions you should ask. Number one is, have you had enough? That's an often one where I get a few chuckles in the seminars, because people say, yeah, absolutely. And by having that question answered, it really helps you begin this next journey. And have you had enough means, have you had enough of the work? Have you had enough the long hours, weekends, the traffic, the commute here in the Washington, D.C. area? Every minute gets worse, it seems. So that could be it. The second question I always tell people to ask is, do you have enough? And by that, the money. And I know in the seminars they talk about estate planning and financial planning, and tax planning, all very important. Because if you have enough, or you think you have enough, either through yourself or through help from other people like a financial advisor, then you can move on and have a more successful second or third career once you leave. And finally, the last one, probably one of the more important ones, do you have enough to do? I tell the seminars, if you do leave your government federal career and really haven't planned right, and you just sit at home and eat potato chips and Twinkies on your couch every day, You don't live very long. You really got to be active. And that's what hopefully some of the ideas we can bring today talking with
you. So do potato chips and Twinkies go together?
For some, they do. But okay. There's also other evil foods, I guess you could eat. But those are my two favorite. So I have them occasionally, but I don't eat them every day.
Okay. And you keep trim and you keep on top of your game with regards to what you do.
I do. Yeah. That is correct.
All righty. So when I teach, you know, I'll remember certain questions more so than others. What question comes to mind where you would think, gee, that's a good question, but I would think the answer is obvious?
For a lot of them, it is obvious. I think, and again, I know in the seminars, people ask me over my 12 years of my second career, what are the best things I've done? What are the maybe mistakes I've made? So you always questioning is always good because I think we learn a lot asking those questions to our family and friends and other retirees, and it makes that journey a lot easier, I believe.
When you talk with the classes, what you talk about, you usually come on the last day, you know. Some of the other days are heavy duty. This is, okay, got your heavy duty down. Now let's try to transition into a pleasant retirement. But do you find then that they're saying, well, prior to the class, I wasn't going to do anything, and now I'm thinking of doing something, and then you tie it up at the end and, you know, follow your passion? I remember once Dr. Michael Creedon, God rest his soul, we were on the air, and I've said this on the air before, and he says, well, what would you want to do in retirement? And I said, I want to play for the NBA. And he goes, pick another one.
Well, some of the dreams like that can happen. You have to be realistic. And I love the word that you just used about passion, because I think what happens when people are involved in their federal career, they're focused on that job. They know what they have to do. They know when they have to go to work. They know they're going to get their benefits. They know they're going to fight the traffic every day. And so now once they go to this next rewirement, that another career they're going to decide to do, I think that's the key. And that's where I find you can work on your passions. And you're right. I usually am the last person of the seminar, of the three-day seminar. And I really like that because I'm the happy person. I'm the one to tell them, you know, you've heard all the things about saving money and do you have enough and your IRA and your thrift savings and the tax planning. And I think several people may get kind of depressed and go, gee, will I ever be able to go on to another career? So
that's why the last day is, I won't call the other one, it's informative, but people get anxious about, gee, I never considered that, but at least you're considering it now and you kind of bring it down to a smooth landing.
And so many, Bob, of I think the majority aren't probably going to call it off from the federal government within a week. Now, I do have a couple people in a seminar that have like 6 months, so they're closer to that. But I would say the majority are probably at least a year. Some of them have 5, 8 years. So I'm so glad they're doing these seminars earlier because then they do have time to plan on the hard data that they got before my session, the 2 days before me, and then I wrap it up and they can really start thinking about what their next stage will be once they end their government career.
All right. So that individual sitting in the listening to you may have thought about this question or may never have thought about it prior to your addressing the class. How do I know when it's time? You know, when it's time to retire.
You have to make sure, again, you've planned enough for the money issue, because that's a key one. Because when we leave our federal career, very few of us, if any, will be making the salary that we did when we were working full time. And yes, it is true, some expenses do go down when we retire. Hopefully taxes will go down. Your contributions to the thrift savings plan will end because you've retired. You can do other IRAs, but the thrift savings plan will end. And so I think people have to also look at that. Then they have to decide, I just can't sit on that couch every day. So you've got to keep busy. And the one other thing I do say is, once you make that decision, whatever you're going to do, work part-time, work full-time, maybe private if you've been with the government our career. If you're going to volunteer, if you're just going to have a fun and leisure, there are three initials that really get involved in that next stage. And I call them the MPS. How about that for that? And those initials are easy to think of. M is for you have to be mentally involved. Use your brain. It's there. It's the use it or lose it syndrome. The other one is the P, the physical. So you've got to be active. Our body is used to being in motion. And then the last is socially active in whatever you're going to do in your next stage. All three of those are easily covered when we work in our federal career. You're physically active, you're mentally active, you're socially active. And so when we leave that safe job that we've had for our career, then hopefully whatever we choose, you want to do all three of those. Because if you don't keep those three active, I think, again, the use it or lose it attitude, we decline. And we don't want to decline mentally or physically or social. So none of us know when we're going to leave this earth. So if we want to keep ourselves healthy and busy, those are three initials are very key in the next stage.
All right, Andy, brag a little bit about somebody that came to you and said, well, you know, I wish I could do what you're telling me, but I'm not going to do anything. I've been under stress the last 10 years, not like the first 20 years because I'm in a position of management pressure there. I'm just going to chill. Now, how long does somebody chill before they go, it's too cold in here?
Interesting you mentioned the chill factor. I will use, again, me as an example. I retired in February of 2008. I'll never forget it. It was a winter day, and we never forget that last day we leave our government job. Monday morning on the 5th of February, again, snowing, cold, didn't have to fight the traffic. I was nice and comfortable in my own home. And so I was happy I didn't have to do a lot of the things I'd been doing forever. Now, for me, I decided to take the rest of the year off, if you will. So I chilled from February to December. I just wanted to catch up on my sleep, wanted to have fun, wanted to visit family, visit friends, stayed in touch with my coworkers. Never burn your bridges, or you never know if you want to come back. That is one thing is an option, is sometimes it is possible if you felt you made the mistake and left too early. It's possible to perhaps come back to work. I knew I didn't want to do it. I'd planned financially that I didn't need to go back to work. But for me, so it was 8 months. Now, for some, maybe a month is okay to chill. Maybe it's 6 months. Everybody's different in that scenario. But once you decide the chill factor is gone, then you have to go to the MPS initials that I mentioned before to keep yourself active. Again, you don't want to get in the habit of chilling the rest of your life.
Okay, I think we need to chill for a couple minutes, and Eric is keying up a message from the sponsor of the show, WEPA.
You have life insurance to protect the people you love. As a civilian federal employee, you have two choices designed specifically for you, WEPA and Fegley. The big difference? Price. Chances are WEPA premiums will cost you less. In fact, the average WEPA member saves $375 per year on premiums. Prioritize your peace of mind with a life insurance policy designed for feds by feds. If you're a civilian federal employee interested in comparing WEPA to Fegley, visit waepa.org today. WEPA is a proud sponsor of 4-Year Benefit, presented by NITP, Mondays 10:05 to 11 a.m. on Federal News Network, 1500 a.m. WEPA has been insuring the future of federal workers for more than 75 years. See why over 46,000 feds have already switched to WEPA at waepa.org.
Welcome back to, what is today? It's February, what is it?
16th. 17th?
17th.
I think it's right after. Remember, I'm retired. I have no idea what day this is.
I had such a great Valentine's Day, right, Nancy? That I lose track of everything else, but I can't lose track of who's sharing the studio today, Bob Stacey. And Bob is a retired Fed, and he was a learning and development specialist, 33 years. But then he decided to retire and do, I think you said you chilled for a while, and then you focused on working with NITP doing seminars.
Absolutely. And actually, before I came with you all at NITP, I had that chill through that first year of leaving the government. Then in January, I said, you know, I got to practice what I preach. I got to be active, both mentally, physically, and social. And I enjoyed earning a little extra money. So actually, Bob, what I did, there was a contractor we hired at Defense who taught leadership and management training, supervision training. Legally, I couldn't work with them. I had to be off a year from the federal government for contract rules. As soon as that year was over, that contracting firm called and said, would you like to come work for me? So actually, I got back into the workaday world, only part-time, doing about 6 classes a year, which was enough to give me that little extra income for my fun and pleasure and kept me busy with the mentally, social, and physical. And then that contract ended, and NITP saw me do my seminar at a training conference. And you all said, hey, wouldn't this be good to add as a flavor, as the to help people decide what to do to work on their passions? So that's how I got involved with NITP. And that, honestly, is the only thing I do now as my part-time work. They keep me busy enough.
Yes,
so
they do.
You know that. So I'm excited to keep that going and to give the participants my thoughts on how to be happy once they decide to hang it up with the government.
Okay. And I believe you have an acronym, so to speak, to help de-stress. And what is it, MPS? And what does MPS stand for?
That goes back to the mental for M, the P for physical, and the S for social or / emotional. All three of those are so key in whatever you do. Because I think, Bob, a lot of people feel you want to leave your job, but your life doesn't end. You aren't leaving your life when you end your federal career. And a federal career is a very interesting aspect and a big part of most of our lives. For some people, it could be half their life. For me, it was a third of my, well, actually a half of my life, 33 years and I'm 67. So almost half of my life working for the government. And so retirement can be a setup for loneliness. And I think that also, when I talk to my participants, that is a concern for them. Again, in our government career, it is not necessarily easy to do the job necessarily, but it's easy because you know you're going to get paid every 2 weeks. You know you've got your benefits. You know you've got your annual leave, your sick leave. And so it's, and you know you've got your work hours. You know you got to get up. You know when you have to work. So it's kind of a rote process. And some people, they feel, okay, this is pretty good. I'm secure. And so they're often afraid to go on to that next career. But I try to give ideas where they can work more on their career and prevent that loneliness. And there's a website I just like to mention that I discovered a few months ago called volunteermatch.org. And for those people that want to volunteer, this is a great website to go to and see just who will match your skills with the volunteers out there. Again, volunteering is a great way to cover those initials, MPS, mental, physical, and social, and to keep you busy and to keep you away from the loneliness that some people may do. There's another one I found where you can meet up with fellow enthusiasts in your area. Right here in Washington, D.C., I found some just last week. The website is meetup.com.
Is this national?
National.
Okay, so it would be any city, bigger cities.
Absolutely.
Have more, but it would be any city.
Absolutely. Same with the volunteer match. You would put in like your zip code or your city and state, hit enter, and hopefully something will come up. I'm not sure it works in all 50 states and 50 cities,
right,
of course. But for me, here in the Washington area, whether you live in Maryland, Virginia, D.C. itself, it is kind of cool. And like one came up for me, like Northern Virginia Hiking Club. Boy, that would be a great one for a meetup for somebody who enjoys hiking and you're meeting other people. Guess what? Covers the social, the physical, and the mental because you're out there. Maybe not so much the mental, huh? But.
Oh, you need to turn the mental off every now and then.
You do. Just give you a break. So the physical would work. And they had an Alexandria happy hour group. Maybe that could be a little mental and talking with other people that like having the cocktails.
Come early, stay long, and everybody's your new best buddy.
And then if people have wants to get into culture, they actually have a Washington, D.C. history and cultural group. So it's fascinating that there are so many websites and so many things out there that people can do just in case if they have that fear of loneliness when they're secure in that federal career.
Okay. Do they have something for people that like old music, 50s, 60s, 70s music?
Absolutely. You find it now. Maybe it won't be here. You might have to move to Los Angeles.
I'm wedded to here. All my life, traveled all the states. Fine, this always had a special something. So I'm sure they have an oldies club.
D.C., that one advantage I tell my participants, those that want to stay in this area and work on their next career, their next part of life, they can actually live here because there's so much to do here. If you can afford to live in the Washington area and you like where you're living, we've got great medical care. We've got maybe the groups you're talking about. Everything is here. Museums, culture, theater, all these places also need volunteers. So D.C. is a wonderful city if you want to stay here.
Well, big cities, you know, what I imagine would offer a number of these things. But what about when we do the seminar, sometimes we go 100 miles outside of D.C. or 100 miles outside of Denver. And, is somebody going to travel from wherever they are outside of Denver, D.C., San Francisco, wherever? Do they have these kind of clubs, if you will, on the periphery of bigger towns?
You would hope so. And hey, how about this? And if not, why not
start
create one? Start one. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, the opportunities are out there. And I like people to talk about their passions, as you mentioned before, in retirement, because I think it's a great way for people to reinvent themselves, to start something new. Why not go out on a limb and do something different, something not you've done for all your life?
Okay, brag on yourself a little bit here. Dealing with people, did you ever cure somebody instead of looking at the negative to look at the positive? In other words, to shape their retirement life. Oh, poor me, I don't have any place to go.
The answer is yes. And in fact, on some of the participants come up after my session is over and they throw out ideas that they think what they want to do. Some of them are spectacular. And I encourage them to do to follow their dreams.
Give me the best one you can think of right off the bat.
Oh, the best one.
Just right.
One is creating her own line of jewelry. And she was going to make the jewelry actually at home, she said, and sell it with the various websites and out of her home.
Great.
So this is something that gives her a passion that she wants to do, not much investment. She can do it at home. She'll be comfortable at home, make some extra money, and still keep herself busy. So that's one that I thought was an interesting one. And I encourage the lady to do and follow this dream.
Some people have their professions. They retire. The profession was nice, but maybe I want to do a tangent to it or a spinoff away from it. Sometimes what we do is very stressful, and we might not want to have that same stress load in retirement. So when people branch off, have you ever been surprised that, let's say, this person is an expert at XYZ, and then they go, nah, I've had enough XYZ, I want to do ABC. And were they successful in that? Did it take years of, I don't think you just switch off of something that was your life for all the years and then say, oh, yeah, I want to go play, you know, pinballs. No.
Well, I don't know. They have pinball tournaments and all the different video games now. It would be something totally different. But I agree with you. I one gentleman in one of my classes, to give an example of what you just mentioned, he at DOD, he said he was just tired of doing that heavy thinking and heavy type of work that he did. And he told me it was interesting. He goes, when he was in college and right after college, he actually was in a rock band. So he played the steel guitar, and now he's thinking of actually picking up that guitar again, creating with some of his buddies just a band, it just something totally different, a lot of fun, his passion. Then I told him another great idea. If he really liked playing that guitar and he wants to pick up some extra money, you know what he could do? He could teach guitar lessons to young people who want to learn. Now he is using his mental attitude, physical attitude, the social, in helping young or older people have guitar lessons. And they pay pretty good money if per hour if you are, know a musical instrument like piano, guitar. I know because I was taking piano lessons from a friend of mine and was paying $30 an hour. And he's back there teaching me how to relearn the piano. And that is one of my passions that I've always wanted to do, to get back to reading music and playing my piano. So for this gentleman to do that with his guitar, it gives him extra money. He's having fun doing it. I was hopeful he'll get his rock band back together. It was just perfect for him.
So with Elton John retiring, then you have another year or two more of the piano lessons, and it's time to, please don't go on tour during the week because you have to teach.
Well, I'm afraid, though, I don't have the costumes Elton John has,
okay,
Bob. So that would cost me more money. I'd have to win the lotto or something to afford the costumes that Elton John puts out on stage.
Yeah, if I could play one-tenth as good as he. Anyway, let's get back to here. Brag on yourself a little bit. You met somebody at a seminar, you met somebody through your prior boots on the ground in the government, and they wanted to retire, or they were retired, and they didn't find retirement what they wanted to be, but they didn't know what to do. And they go, help me, Bob. You've certainly had this with your own self, but you talked to people at work when you were, you know, with the government, and you talked to all these people at the seminars. So who'd you meet that you either turned around or opened a door that they didn't think could be opened?
Yeah, that's a good point. Often there are people that will do just what you said, and I always recommend there's a lot of career counselors out there or life coaches. And often the life, I'm not one personally, I'm not certified in that, but those are folks that can really help someone find their way, if you will, because they know what to ask. They know what the person's interested in, whether they want to stay what they want to do or go off on a tangent. And again, I think you probably know this, if somebody really doesn't want to go back to work full time, there are several government agencies that do re-employed annuitants. Mm-hmm. And that is a great way that they can go back to what they were doing or similar tasks with an agency they're comfortable with until they really find their way on doing something different. So some of my friends have gone back. I personally did not want to go back to DOD and be a re-employed annuitant. But it is something every listener should check with their government agency because it's a great segue where you're not totally retired, but you're still doing that part-time work, still collecting your retirement benefits, and then you get some extra pay to maybe help you bide time until you find out what you really want to do.
Okay. Okay. And getting somebody to come forward with their, not inner thoughts, but to go, me, you might say, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I don't know. Michael Creedon told me I couldn't play basketball. Nobody wants to listen to oldies. I don't know what to do. I probably wouldn't mind teaching, but after a while, the age gap is, depending on your listening audience, they might not appreciate it as much as somebody closer to their age.
What helps those folks, like say for yourself, in my seminar and all of them, I have an exercise that's called a passion list, or if you will, a bucket list. And I ask people to actually write down anything that they've had an interest in throughout their life. Whether you were 10 years old, whether you're 40, or it could be something you've never done before. And I equate that exercise. I start them out with 25 blank lines, and I say, fill up as many as you can. And I always give this example. One woman at NIH actually came up with 52 items on that list in that short time. And I tell folks, those of you that have your list partially complete, and if you're down to 15 to 20, 25, you've got a lot of things to look forward to, and they can be new things. Now, you're probably going to ask me, aren't you, like, what is one of my passions I work on?
You took the words out of my mouth.
Did I? See, you and I have been doing this in the last 40 minutes. I can predict what you're going to ask me. I'll tell you two passions I've had. One of them I've completed, called parasailing. Have you ever done that, Bob?
I tried it at Nag's Head. I wasn't so successful there, and I tried it on the back of a boat with a string on it. That didn't end so well. Didn't hurt me, but I wasn't going to go too high.
No. Well, if you're afraid of heights, that could be an issue. Yeah. I did it off the coast of Honolulu on a powerboat tandem with my cousin, and we're up 900 feet in the air, and it was just 900 feet. Seeing the planes come in, seeing the Diamond Head, Waikiki Beach, it was an experience. You're only up for 8 minutes. For some, it may seem like 8 hours.
Yeah.
But for me, it was a thrill to finally learn to parasail and get up in the air. Now you're going to ask me, okay, what was that second one that I really want to do?
Took the words out of my mouth.
Something a little higher than 900 feet. Can you probably guess what I want to do now?
I don't know. You were in a World War II bomber.
You're very close. I want to jump out of a plane. I want to skydive.
Okay.
And my niece has done it in Australia, in fact, and she loved it. And I understand near Williamsburg, Virginia, there is a company that will take you up 25,000 feet and let you jump out of that plane. Not alone. You got to do it with a skilled instructor.
Oh, I would hope.
And somebody always mentions, well, you know, Bob, out in Reston, they got one of these simulators where they put you in a tube the air. I said, no, that's not for me. I want to do the real thing.
I want to do the real deal.
So yes, this passion list is so important, I feel, as part of my exercises to get people focused on new things or things they've done before that they haven't had time to do. You know, when you were working full-time back in our other careers, we didn't have time to do anything. It was just work, work, work.
Still don't.
You still, well, we got to get you to work on your passion list, Bob. But that it really is a key exercise, because I think and some people come back and say, well, I only have two things listed. I'm not going to succeed in my next stage. And I go, no, that's not true. Is I think they're so focused, tunnel visioned on the job they've been doing for so long. I say, go home tonight. Go talk to your wife, your spouse, significant other, your kids, your neighbors, your cousins. Some, as you know, some people know us better than ourselves. And that way, they'll come back and say, God, you know what? I've gone from 2 to 20 items on this list. And this is what keeps us going. It gives us hope. I always mention the movie, if you've seen it, Bob, called The Bucket List.
Oh, yeah. It was on Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's one of those that they are a classic movie where they work on their bucket list and to give them hope and passion for the future.
Well, I think this is an excellent time for a break, and Eric's been telling me for a minute or two it's time for a break, and we'll listen to what NITP can do for our listeners.
Who do you trust when making your most important decisions? National Institute of Transition Planning has been the trusted source for federal retirement planning, serving new, mid-career, and pre-retirement federal employees for more than 30 years. NITP's subject matter experts bring more than 800 years of collective expertise on federal benefits, financial transition, and estate planning. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com to sign up for their free monthly newsletter and information about free webinars.
Does planning for retirement seem like a daunting task? Is retirement years away? It will arrive sooner than you think. Prepare now to stay on track. Join the thousands of federal employees and retirees who have already attended National Institute of Transition Planning's free monthly webinars to learn more about retirement and financial planning. NITP is the national leader and trusted source for federal retirement information. Visit NITPinc.com to sign up for NITP's free monthly newsletter and webinar.
Welcome back to For Your Benefit. We're here. We're talking about retirement. We're talking about rewirement, looking at what we do or what we should do and testing the waters. But now I have to make my to-do ideas. What do I do there? Put down kind of everything that I ever thought about doing and then cross off the stuff that can't be done?
Well, part of it is you said this retirement word that I don't like because it sounds so final. And I like the rewirement. I like the next stage or chapter life. I like new beginnings. I like reinvention. You name it. All of those, whatever floats your boat, as they say, to get you kickstarted to go life after government. So about the to-do ideas, I mentioned before the break about the passion list or bucket list. I think that's a good way to jumpstart this thought process. And it can be like, I think majority of people put traveling down. And I know you and Nancy like to travel. And I think that's a great way to see the world, to keep your mind active. It's social. You're meeting people all over the world. It keeps you physically, if you like to walk around the city instead of taking tour buses. It's a great way to see a city. And the thing about traveling, Bob, which I tell people to look forward to in this next stage of life, is you can always travel off-season at your time. Because you really want to go most places off-season. Airfare's cheaper, hotel's cheaper, and the crowds aren't there. So now that you have this free time, hopefully, and your spouse is also retired, that's the other thing people got to think about. Because if the spouse isn't retired, you can't do it exactly like that. But once both of you have done that, then traveling off season is a good one. Maybe you want to go back to school. It can happen. There are programs for retirees in every county in D.C., Virginia, Maryland that give a benefit to retirees to go back to lifelong learning and keep active and learn something new or learn something again. Learning a new language is a good one. I don't know, Bob, if on your mobile phone, you've got the app Duolingo. Do you have that one?
No.
That one's a really, really good one for people to start updating a language skill or learning a new one. I thought maybe you might want to learn Chinese or Russian or German or something.
Well, I do tax work, which is Chinese or Russian to most people, but that's what I do. The phone is for answering the emails and the calls and whatnot. I usually don't stray too far off of that unless it's, if I'm working late, I go in and turn on whatever album is on the net to listen to music.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Gardening, shopping, visiting friends, all of that. All right. So that's that passion list. Another to-do idea is to actually work full or part-time. Maybe some people listening to this want to start their own business. Now, personally for me, I never wanted to be my own contractor. I didn't want to go through, what do you set up, LLCs and all that stuff you got to do. And I said, no, that's too much for me. I'd rather work for someone and go that way and then have them ask me, can I teach on a certain day? And then the end of the month, I get a paycheck and I file my quarterly taxes and then I'm set for the year. And it's on my schedule, which is really what I like about NITP, how you all work the schedules, because you offer a class and it's we can teach it, great. If not, you find the next person and there's no pressure. It's a wonderful, wonderful way to really keep active post-government work. So some people want to start their own business. I didn't want to do that. We talked about government agencies hiring you back. We have talked somewhat in my classes about the gig economy. These are those short-term ephemeral jobs that don't last long, such as working for Uber or Lyft. That's another idea for someone listening today who wants to learn extra money, being a driver for Uber or Lyft.
And, you know, that one, too, it's very social. I haven't had a car in like 2 weeks. It's in the shop, and so I'll Uber home. And talking to these drivers, they come from different disciplines and thought process. And I tell them I'm a bean counter, and they ask, you know, about taxes and stuff. And it's actually, there's no dead air on the ride.
The drivers are great. I agree with you. And I've always said if I ever won the lotto, Bob, I would never drive again on this earth. I'd have a car and driver. And people say, well, that's Uber or Lyft. I said, no, I want to have my own personal one at beck and call. So maybe you want to be my driver if I win that lotto.
Good. If only if you can provide a Ferrari as the transportation vehicle.
You tell me what you want to drive and I'll be glad. As long as I can fit in that car next to you. I think we'll both have to sit in the front seat, front seats though. But yeah, there's pet sitting, dog walking, house clean. Some people may want to deliver food. DoorDash, Uber Eats, all employ people to do that. You can teach a skill. We talked about that. And there is one website that if you're looking for part-time work, then you search jobs at aarp.org. And if you go to that website and search jobs now, you simply put in your zip code and up will come part-time work that you possibly could do in your area. It's a great way for, again, people to have those options. And hopefully it'll work in any zip code that you move to in the U.S. of A.
Let me ask you a question about that. Let's say that after listening to you, I decide I'm going to retire, but it's not going to happen. And then when I do retire and I work, because I've been self-employed, you know, all my life, am I going to have a hard time listening to somebody tell me how to do something or what to do?
You may. It is possible. All of us are different, which is why I was happy and partly to get out of federal service after 33 years because of people doing just what you said.
Yeah.
And I said, so whatever I wanted to do, I wanted to ensure either I start my own business and I'm my own boss, or I work for a company that is not doesn't treat me that way and is hands-off but still gives me the benefits of everything I want to do doing MPS, mentally, physically, and social.
Okay, MPS.
Now, the other thing we just talked about working part-time jobs that I mentioned, another great way to do MPS is to volunteer. I don't know, Bob, if you volunteer with any organizations.
Actually, I don't do much of anything but work, but I feel sometimes I help people. You know, somebody will come in and they don't have the funds to fix a problem with the IRS or whatnot, so I do it. And I kind of sort of know what I'm doing there, and it makes me feel good. But years ago, this is a good story, I've forgotten about it. I went around to high schools and I talked about, you know, going to college and, I think I could tell this on the air. And this was at a pretty rough school. And I was talking, and I noticed one lady in front of me two back, and we talked about if you're going to do something, you need to practice. And she didn't hear, excuse me, she didn't think I heard what she said. So after class, I asked her, I said, you really want to become a practice? That's what she had said to the other one. And she, I talked to her first, so I felt her out that she wouldn't, and she hugged me. Whew. Still gives me chills.
Interesting story.
Yeah. And then another young man, he says, my dad really knows computers, but he can't find a job. Well, this was in the height of hiring, and I said, he's probably just very particular. He clearly has a good son. He'll find the right job. He just might have to knock on more doors. There's probably an issue there, but I wouldn't want to go there. Anyway, but I just really like doing that.
So you do that informally, which is a great way.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with NITP.
No, but again, you're helping others, and it keeps you active in that sense of doing the type of advice that you're giving folks. Mm-hmm. So you may have another career if you want to leave NITP and start doing tax work on the side, maybe, and start doing career counseling. I think you'd be good at that.
I think the age issue. I'm not ancient, but the people that are coming usually are going to be 40 years different than what I am, or 30 years different than what I am, and then it's like their grandfather or something. But I'll talk to anybody that listens.
But the volunteer part, I think, is a big part of people don't necessarily need money or need to earn extra money, but want to keep mentally, physically, and socially active. Volunteering is one of the best things one can do. And I even bring up to the classes, like coming up is the Olympics in Japan, I think, Tokyo. I think that's where they'll be, hopefully.
Eric says yes.
All right. They're going to be in Tokyo, and they're looking for volunteers now. People can apply and go over there, see some games for free. A couple in one of my classes actually volunteered at Yellowstone National Park. National parks are looking for volunteers for summer. Glacier, Yellowstone. And so there are a lot of ways I think people – can be active and do something totally, as you said, off the rails that they've never even thought of before.
Which brings to mind another thing that I do. I don't do a ton of these things, but a friend of mine started this not-for-profit called Rock and Roll for Children. It isn't what it sounds like. And so once a year we bring in a notable, as best we can afford it, and at the Fillmore in Silver Spring, if local people haven't been there, it's like the real deal. And we raise the money, and it goes to one place, Children's Inn at NIH. And for those that don't know what it is, they bring in sick children, and the family stays with them and pays nothing so that they can be with the kids.
Sort of so like was, what St. Jude's does
Nashville. You're doing something to help somebody, but at the same time, you can go to the show or not go to the show. The show's pretty good.
And actually, that leads me to another volunteer, is all of us have theaters around this area.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have by you? What are your theaters by you only? What do you have? Strathmore?
Strathmore. You have and Strathmore. Then they have a place called The Amp. This is just up the street from Strathmore and something called Pike and Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's up and coming. More so than done and coming down. And they're fun. But Strathmore isn't always just the high atmosphere music groups.
Yeah.
And they have a smaller venue as well. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty neat.
And I've got Signature by me in Arlington. We all have the Kennedy Center Arena stage downtown. And I tell you, they're always looking for volunteers. There's probably a wait list to help at Kennedy Center. But, I tell the folks, what's the big advantage if you volunteered, say, to take tickets at Kennedy Center or Strathmore? Or let's go outside that box and say at the Verizon Center, where they have sports and musicals and musicians.
Yeah.
The biggest benefit? See the shows for free.
Yep.
And that could save quite a big bucks, because you know what was at the Kennedy Center 2 years ago that's coming back this summer.
What's that?
Hamilton.
Really?
Coming back. And I have a friend who worked the Kennedy Center 2 years ago, and she got to see that Hamilton for free, where tickets were going up to $600 for an orchestra seat. Wow. And she can meet people. Everything is there. She saves money. She gets discounted parking. She's physically, mentally, socially involved. I think that's the biggest comment for me in this radio show today is those three initials are so key, however you want to do it, whether it's part-time work, full-time work, part-time volunteer, full-time volunteer. You've got to be busy.
Okay. Eric's saying you got about 2+ minutes to go, or you'll be talking to dead air. So let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Go ahead. What was my takeaway here?
You got to be busy. You got to keep busy, whatever you're going to do.
Okay.
And if you don't keep busy, you're going to lose the mental attitude, the physical, and the social.
What if I don't know what I want to do? I think I have maybe 10 things I want to do, but I can't do all 10. Do I try out all 10 and take the one I like the most?
No, I would say try a couple and have that list. Have the list of 10. Try those two, and then if they don't work, try something else. Don't ever give up. Be very positive in whatever venue or avenue you want to go to, and get help from your family and friends as well.
Okay. Well, I think you've left an indelible impression upon our listeners, as well as your fellow friend across from you in the studio, and of course, Eric. Eric's every millisecond of he smiles and he nods his head and whatnot. But anyway, why don't we call it a day, and we'll be back next week with another show. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
All righty. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP and sponsored by WAPA. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. This show can also be heard on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search For Your Benefit. Thanks for listening.